I'm Aaron Schachter in for Marco Werman, and this is The World. It's a big deal when a sitting president comes to visit. It's a huge deal when President Obama visits Kenya, as he's scheduled to do this Friday. Obama has family in Kenya. His father was from there, and his relatives would love a visit. But that's not the official focus for this trip. The president has much more serious business to discuss in Kenya, including the ongoing battle against the militant group Al-Shabaab. In fact, Kenya's president has already said that security and trade will be the main topics he'll discuss with Obama. My BBC colleague Nkem Efejika is in Nairobi for the BBC program Newsday. Nkem, how is Kenya getting ready to greet its perhaps most famous son?
There is the distinct smell of paint in the air, Aaron. Everything is being spruced up. There's a joke going around about the mayor of Nairobi trying to grow grass at such short notice and hasn't prepared adequately, trying to make sure that all the bare patches are nice and verdant and lush. There are posters as you drive from the airport into Nairobi City of Karibu, Mr. President. Karibu means welcome in Swahili. It's Karibu, Mr. President. Welcome, Mr. President. Welcome home. There are flags of the United States and Kenya flying all over the place. The newspapers have been filled with stuff about President Obama since last week. They are agog at the prospect of their most famous son, arguably, returning home.
Now, Kenya has seen some really terrible terrorist attacks in the last couple of years, so I imagine security must be a pretty huge issue right now.
There is something about U.S. Secret Service agents, and you can almost spot them wherever you go. You know the types. You know they've got a certain style of suit. They've got their dark shades and sunglasses on. You can tell when they're milling around. Just yesterday, there was one of them who I spotted on a walkie-talkie, and he was looking up ahead, looking up above. And as that was happening, as he was looking up in the sky, a helicopter was going past. So presumably, they're getting prepared for the president returning. So, for example, there are going to be satellite images of many of the main roads around into the city, including the State House where President Kenyatta of Kenya lives. Many of the big roads will be cut off. So there's a cordon sanitaire around President Obama.
You have been out and about reporting and meeting with some very interesting characters, speaking of security. Tell us about the guy you met, Yusuf Omar, and how he got mixed up with Al-Shabaab.
Yusuf Omar says that he was a teacher here in Nairobi, and that's what he was doing, until he was tempted by what he says was a Muslim friend who offered him the chance to go to Qatar, oil-rich nation in the Middle East, in the Gulf, and the attraction was $30,000 per month. So he said the arrangements were made, and he was going to get on a coach, and then he would be taken to a place where he'd catch a flight to Qatar. Before he knew it, he was on a coach bound for Somalia, which is a country that neighbors Kenya. And before he knew it, he was told, "Welcome, my brothers."
In,
he converted
in Somalia.
To Islam. In Somalia, he was told, "Welcome, my brothers." He converted to Islam, and he was told that from now on, you shall be fighting for Al-Shabaab. It was either kill or be killed. So he spent about 2.5 years fighting for Al-Shabaab. So Yusuf Omar said that there came a point where he couldn't stay any longer. There was a deadly attack in April, the Garissa University College attack, in which 148 people were killed. In that attack, Yusuf Omar said that he lost a relative, and that was the point where he said, you know what, enough is enough, and he organized his escape. And he said that in order to escape, he even had to take a life. He even had to kill, I think, one or two of his commanders for them to escape. For obvious reasons, he didn't want his real name to be known, so which is why he went by the moniker Yusuf Omar. He's still in hiding, and he was also complaining about not getting enough support from the Kenyan government.
Was he given some kind of amnesty?
That is exactly correct, Aaron. He was given amnesty by the Kenyan government, which is why he can return to the country. There is an amnesty program, and there are quite a few people who have returned on that amnesty program. The question is whether enough is being done to rehabilitate them, change their minds ideologically, because many of them have gone through psychological indoctrination. So it's about changing their minds and then trying to decide whether they're fit enough to reintegrate into normal society, because with the things that many of those people have seen and done, you kind of wonder about whether they should be allowed back into society. So those are many of the things that the Kenyan government is having to grapple with.
My BBC colleague Nkem Efejika speaking from Nairobi. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much, Aaron. Much appreciated.